Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Susan Cook. Hello, Susan.
Hi there.
So Susan is the executive director of River City Habitat for Humanity. For those who may not be familiar with Habitat for Humanity, kind of give folks an idea of the purpose of it.
Our mission is to build homes with the help of volunteers for people who really couldn't necessarily just walk into a bank and get a house loan, whether that's because they don't have the credit score, they don't have the down payment, or the way the housing market is, they couldn't afford it. So we work with volunteers to help build the homes. Then once it's done, we turn around and sell that home to the homeowner at 0% interest. Yeah. So it's a large savings for the family compared to if they had to go get a traditional loan.
One aspect of it is not just a bunch of volunteers. You do have some folks with skills who kind of help supervise it. So you don't have wannabe carpenters like myself.
Oh, we love the wannabe
carpenters. I can swing a hammer. Mm-hmm. But then also, I think it's intriguing, the whole idea of sweat equity that the future homeowner has. Kind of explain a little bit about what the idea behind that is.
Yeah, so it's not really just volunteers building the homes for the homeowner. It is them being on the job site next to the volunteer, learning how their house is being put together, putting in, like you said, sweat equity that kind of works like a down payment, right?
Yeah.
They're using their sweat instead of money to help build the home. And it's a good partnership that then the volunteer gets to know the family that the home is being built for.
Yeah. And the thing I've always enjoyed about that concept, that's an investment that person is making it. They feel connected to that home then.
Absolutely.
Because they help put up those studs or that drywall or paint it.
Yes.
And so they are connected and they want to take care of it then once they move into it with their family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It becomes more of theirs.
Yes. Yeah. So there is a local chapter called River City, as you know, because you're the executive director.
Right.
I hope I'm not sharing any new news through here.
Shocking.
I know. So how did River City Habitat for Humanity come about?
Our affiliate started in 1992, and there was some congregation members from First Presbyterian that kind of started it and got together and just said, you know, we need to do something about the housing situation. So they looked at other habitats and figured out how to make it happen. And we started building, no staff, no budget, no real idea what we were doing in 1992. And then, of course, in 1993, the flood started.
Oh, yeah.
And so there we were building our first house with raining every day. And it just so happened that after the flood, Millard Fuller, who actually started Habitat for Humanity International, was up in Columbia. And so some of our founders went up to Columbia and said, you really need to come down and see what's happened to Jeff City. And so he came down and he stood on the bridge and looked over what was River City and said, you guys have to do more. And they were like, okay, we'll try two houses.
Right.
And he was like, no, you have to do more. So he got us up to 10 houses that first year.
Wow.
We were kind of in existence. And so it just kind of put us on the map and got us started. And now we've done over 130 homes here in the Jeff City area.
And so it's throughout the community too, also. Right. It's not just in one area, all these homes. This is where property becomes available. How do you choose a property?
Yeah. So most of our properties are somebody that donates the land to us, whether somebody's had a house fire and they don't want to rebuild, or maybe they have a lot that they can't build on, especially after the tornado. We received a lot of lots, especially there on Jackson Street. So it's very unusual for us to have to purchase land. So we've been very blessed in that aspect. There's a lot of habitats that don't. So they're having trouble finding the land to be able to build on. So
yeah.
We're very lucky here in Jeff City.
So how many sites do you have that are undeveloped at this point?
So we have enough right now to get us through probably 2026. And then we have a site selection team that kind of works to keep identifying additional properties.
Okay. So how many homes do you try to build in a year?
Typically, we do about 4 to 5 a year.
Okay. Where are some of the homes that are underway right now?
Sure. So we just sold one on Montana Street. We have another one that will close at the end of this month on East High Street. Then we are working on another one on Havana. mm-hmm. which was our women build property. We actually have one in Fulton right now, which is abnormal for us, but we are allowed to build one time out of our service area. We chose to do it in Fulton this time because there was a family of 14 up there that needed a home. So that's our one time. And from then on, it's just Cole County.
So let's talk about the homes themselves. So, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily recognize if you're driving down Montana, which home was the Habitat home versus which home was not, right?
So that's the plan.
Right.
Yes.
So what are the basic sizes or features that one would get in a Habitat home?
So they're basic affordable homes, 3 or 4 bedrooms, mm-hmm. about 1,400 square feet, 2 full baths. Typically, there's not a basement. If we receive a home that we can rehab, some people do have basements, but mm-hmm. typically there's not a garage, but they get a double car driveway. Pretty basic home, but very nice for most of our families. And mm-hmm. it's all new items, new homes, new appliances.
Sure. So. Okay. Well, you mentioned there was one of the builds on Havana. It's called the Women's Build Program.
Yeah.
So tell a little bit of what the idea behind the Women's Build is first.
So it actually started, Habitat International started it in 1991. Mm-hmm. The basic premise is just women helping women.
Okay. Right?
So 3 out of 4 of our homeowners are single moms.
Okay.
I always talk to my construction crew about the fact that if you're a single mom with no construction experience and you're walking on that job site for the first time to do your sweat equity, it's intimidating.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Because it's mostly men.
Yep.
And it's mostly men who know how to swing a hammer. And so the Women Build is really a chance just to invite other women onto the job site to kind of break that stigma, mm-hmm. help people get comfortable being on a job site and helping other women achieve homeownership.
So this one on Havana, how many women are involved in that?
For us right now, Women Build is usually just a one-time thing.
Okay.
So it was a one-day event that we did the first week of March, which is the International Women Week. So we had about 15 women that showed up to help build that day. We are actually looking, though, we're going to be creating a group called Women Build Women, and the kickoff for that is Thursday, May 2nd, and that is intended to hopefully make Women Build more than just once a year.
Okay.
And so our goal is if we can get enough women to join the group, that perhaps we can even have a home that is solely built by women.
Okay. If someone wants to participate in that May event, how does one do it?
So the best way right now, I'm not even sure I have it on the website, Gary, but it should be on the website for a sign up form. And it's just going to be May 2nd at Canterbury Hills Winery, 4:30 to about 6:30. And we're just going to get together and see how many women we can pull together. And the intent of the group is perhaps we're going to teach construction skills. We're going to have guest speakers mm-hmm. and then hopefully also just have a build day once a month where the women get together and go build.
Okay. We'll put in the show notes of this podcast also contact information for you. So that way if folks have trouble finding out, they can do it with you. But let's talk a little bit more about the whole idea of the Women's Build. So what are some of the experiences that someone has to have to show up on a Habitat site?
The big thing that we always say is absolutely no experience necessary.
Okay.
Like you said, we have trained staff who are on the job site, make sure everybody stays safe, and they teach everybody whatever the task is for that day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of home building tasks that get subbed out, right?
Yeah.
So we don't ask anybody to get up on top of a roof.
Okay.
We don't ask anybody to do electrical work.
Yep.
You know, there's just certain things, but we frame the houses, we side the homes, we paint them, we install the doors and the trim and the window. There's a lot of things that volunteers can do, and we'll never ask anybody to do anything that they don't feel comfortable with,
right.
But we'll also provide the tools and the training.
Okay. What would you say to someone who's maybe a little bit reticent? Why should they be involved in this?
The tornado really kind of ripped off the Band-Aid, right? And mm-hmm. let us all kind of be aware that we have a housing crisis
right,
in Jeff
right.
City. So there's a real need for affordable housing in our community. So that's one reason,
mm-hmm.
right? But more than that, it's that you get to see the family that's going to be in this home and you get to feel their appreciation for it. Most of the people that apply for our program never thought that they would be able to become a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
And this opportunity teaches them throughout the program how to be a successful homeowner. It teaches them how their house was built. The amount of pride that they have at the end when they receive their keys is an emotional experience if you've never been to one of our dedications. And so I think volunteering with us and seeing that process and seeing the progress that the family makes as they go through it is just something that you can't even describe.
I think just my own personal experience, I used to do some mission trip works or construction with high school students. And it was set up very similarly to Habitat in that you had to teach them the skills that they would be using that day, right? And or you'd be by their side. And the homeowners would be on that side, but it always struck me how uplifting it was for those homeowners too, because a lot of times they didn't think anybody cared about them. Right?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you know, they would ask of the volunteers, why are you doing this? You know, you could be out at the beach, you could be out doing something fun. Why are you doing this? Yes. And so it just, it always strikes me how organizations like this, they build such a great community, right? Because it also, it helps the volunteer really create that community, right? To really feel, to invest in the community, and you see the rewards of that if this family then thrives.
Yeah.
And at least they're put on a position where they have a chance to succeed.
And they're usually learning. The people that volunteer with us are usually people, not to be too stereotypical, but they're middle class.
Yeah.
They're homeowners. And so it's a good role model for our families to be around to talk to and learn from as they're working together on this home. And, and you're absolutely right. The homeowners are so amazed that somebody would give up their time to come build them a home.
Right.
And so it just adds to that appreciation.
They see that volunteer that maybe is bending the same nail that they just did. Right.
Exactly.
And it's not like, well, these are better people than me. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's we share a bond there that just transcends most interactions folks have. So let's talk about that. Do you have some feedback maybe of folks who volunteered that maybe they doubted themselves or were kind of reticent about going? What kind of effect did it have upon them?
Again, I think it can be intimidating for anybody to walk onto a job site sometimes if you don't have that construction experience. So I think a lot of our volunteers are surprised that they can go on a job site and complete a task. And it's an empowering moment for them to know, I just sighted that whole house. It is something that they thought they would never do or know how to do.
Sure.
And they do. They get a lot of pride out of the fact that they were able to accomplish something that they never thought that they would do.
Yeah. Well, and this is not like a commitment that you're making where you're going to show up every day to work, right? I mean, as a volunteer, you can kind of say, I'm available this amount of time. And as you mentioned, if you don't feel comfortable on a ladder, you don't have to get on a ladder to paint a ceiling or whatever. So if we've done our job here and talked someone into really thinking about it, what is the website where folks can get involved as a volunteer?
RiverCityHabitat.org. And we're actually redoing our website right now. So maybe in a week or so, you'll see our new website.
All right.
But there's contact information on there for our director of community engagement, or anybody can contact me. We'll get them signed up because it, like you said, it's really easy. It's flexible. You can work as much as you want or as little as you want. We have people that come out once a year. We have people that come out once a month. It's really just whatever works with people's schedules.
Okay. So what other ways can someone in the community, maybe they have an aversion to swinging a hammer, how else can they help support the work of Habitat for Humanity?
So one of our biggest fundraisers is our ReStore, and our ReStore is on Creek Trail Drive, and we have wonky hours that people complain about, but we have volunteers that run the ReStore. Basically, people can donate items to us, and then we turn around and sell them, and then all that money goes to building homes.
Okay.
So we take everything that basically I say that goes in a house or on a house, except for soft goods. So we don't do like clothing or bedding, things like that. But furniture, appliances, home decor, windows, doors, trim, we've got it all.
I will tell you, it's a treasure trove. I have been a customer, and actually in our utility room, we have a 3-sink, came out of maybe a restaurant that we use like as a washing room sink. And it's the things you can find at Habitat are really great quality. and can easily be repurposed. And it's also green. You're not throwing it in a landfill, right? Whether it's doors or hinges or things such as that, that they fill a nice little niche there.
We do. Yeah. We do. And we have, you remember the old show Newhart where you had Daryl?
Yeah.
Well, we have Ron and Ron.
Okay.
And they are our guys in our restore that then if there's anything that we can't sell, mm-hmm. they will strip down and recycle all the different parts of whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so really is a great way to keep things out of the landfill.
Well, folks, check out our show notes. We have information on how you can get better connected with Habitat. And we look forward to hearing more in the future as to some of the new projects you have going on.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.